Good morning, everyone. February was CUC month, and here it is March 1st, so our topic today is a day late. Let's just hope it's not a dollar short. Okay. So my talk today is actually a sermon entitled Faith Beyond Our Walls, You in the World. And it's by the Reverend Victoria Ingram, who is the minister at the First Unitarian Church of Hamilton in Ontario. So these are all her words. I might have put in the odd word in there, but it's all her work. So if you've ever been in an evangelical church, you know that it's common to bring a Bible with you on Sunday mornings, because they will make references to the text throughout the service. There will be quotes from scriptures, and the preacher will almost always give the day's message from specific verses. You would follow along in your own Bible. This hasn't been the preaching style of our denomination for a very long time. I'm actually not too sure what single book we might use. You know, if we were to try to revive that tradition, perhaps we'd come to church looking like high school students with a huge backpack full of books. But I want to give you, I want to invite you to bring out one of our own Unitarian Universalist sacred text, so we can look at some meaningful words together and explore what they mean to us in this faith tradition. So let's get out singing the living tradition, the Grey Hymnal, and turn to the front of the book, to the page where you'll find the statement of our covenant. So the page will look like this. Okay. You don't see. Okay. So in the large print text that highlights the preamble to our seven principles, there are some important words, especially in the context of today's focus for our time together. We're going to be talking about our connection to the larger denomination of Unitarian Universalism. Let's read these words together. We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote. We don't need to read the principles, but okay. So while each of us may personally embrace and interpret these seven principles as guidelines for leading a fulfilled and worthwhile life, or not, it's not a requirement, as an association of congregations, we have adopted them as our statement of understanding and support for one another. They state some of the most important values that define and guide our denomination. When people initially come to check out a Unitarian church, believe it or not, they don't tell Mary at the visitor's kiosk or Pam at in our foyer here that they are looking for an association of congregations with which to align. Most of us arrived out of a need to find connection, a sense of community, companionship on life's journey, a place to be seen and heard and nurtured in our search for truth and meaning. It wasn't until much later that we realized that we've gotten ourselves involved in something larger than this one congregation, a religious denomination called Unitarian Universalism. I want to focus today on that larger connection on Unitarian Universalism as an association, the Canadian Unitarian Council, a group of member congregations each independent and self-contained, but choosing to be together in a larger body of people who are accountable to and supportive of one another in our common faith tradition. You will see that commitment highlighted in the paragraph at the bottom of the page where it says, as free congregations, we enter into this covenant, promising to one another our mutual trust and support. We are free congregations, a part of our heritage since our separate denominations began hundreds of years ago. However, we are also more than just one congregation. In the Canadian Unitarian Council, we are approximately 50 congregations made up of over 5,000 people. The earliest was established in 1842, that was in Montreal, our own, this is Hamilton, in 1889. And the Regina congregation, I believe, was in 1955. So it's, and there are some that are even more recent than that. Worldwide Unitarian Universalists have been entering into worship together since the 1560s in countries such as Hungary, Romania, India, New Zealand, Australia, Poland, Great Britain, Switzerland, Mexico, the USA, to name a few. We're a relatively small denomination, but we have a long vocal history of social engagement, religious innovation, and public witness. In each of our churches, we are responsible for our own governance, for our own finances, for our own decisions and choices. We are more than a mission of sustaining our own, yet we are more than a mission of sustaining our own congregation, simply supporting our own community of friends and loved ones within these walls. We are brothers and sisters in faith. Within this council and larger association, we have a greater mission in the world beyond our borders. So why are we here? Why are you here? There may be many reasons for each of us chooses to bring our presence and participation to this church. Some of us come from a long line of UU heritage. This is our faith home because it's where we grew up and developed our sense of spirituality, self, and place. For most of us, however, coming into the circle of Unitarian Universalism represents the culmination of a search in response to deep yearnings of the heart and spirit, a desire to find a spiritual home and community where our mind is engaged and our heart is opened, our spirit renewed, and our hands engaged in service. When we share our stories about how we have been led us, how we have led us to Unitarianism, we hear about each other's adventures in Wonderland. We wondered if we would ever find a place that would speak to us spiritually. We wondered if we'd ever find a community where our beliefs and values fit. We wondered if our free spirits, longing for the search, could find a place where we would be welcomed in, doubts and all, to find friends and companions for the journey. Every single one of us, whether we are cradle UUs, long-time converts, or recently arrived fledglings, values our personal path as we search for the truth and meaning referenced in our second principle. We are committed to our singular search to finding our own paths and walking on our own way of on our own way on life's journey. We embrace this right and privilege, and we extend the courtesy of acceptance and love to one another, challenging ourselves to love one another and open our hearts wider. Our goal in community is to encourage each in our pursuit of spiritual growth. Despite our independence as individual Unitarians and congregations, we still have a lot in common. So here's a humorous look at us from the Reverend Chris Rabel. So it's entitled, "I Am the Very Model of a Modern Unitarian." Some of you may have heard this before. It's actually based on the Gilbert and Sullivan's Modern Major General from the Pirates of Penzance. No chance. I thought about bringing the sheet music and having Megan play it along, but that's not going to happen either today. So, but if you guys know the words, hey, you got the voice, you know, exercise your lungs. I am the very model of a modern Unitarian, far broader than a Catholic, Hindu, Jew, or Presbyterian. I know the world's religions and can trace their roots historical, from Moses up to Channing, and all in order categorical. I'm very well acquainted, too, with theories theological. On existential questions, I am always wholly logical. But about most any problem, I am teeming with a lot of views. I'm full of fine ideas that should fill the church's empty pews. I quote from Freud and Jung and all the expert psychological. I'm anti-nuke, I don't pollute, I'm chastely ecological. I'm short in manner, spiritual, ethical, material. I am the very model of today's religious liberal. I use the latest language. God is never Father or the Lord, but ground of being, source of life, or almost any other word. I never pray. I meditate. I'm leery about worshiping. I serve on 10 committees, none of which accomplish anything. That rang true or what? I give to worthy causes, and I drive a gas-conserving car. I have good UU principles, although I don't remember what they are. I'm open to opinions of profound and broad variety, unless they're too conservative or smack of righteous piety. I can formulate agendas and discuss them with the best of them, but don't ask me to implement. I leave that to the rest of them. In short, in matters spiritual, ethical, material, I am the very model of today's religious liberal. I'm on the list of charities and PACs and causes by the score, so I plead poverty when UU canvassers come to my door. I want to give. I have to want to give, for I am impervious to guilt and fear. I hate to deal with pleas for funds that I don't really want to hear. Words like duty, pledge, and vision make my skin begin to crawl, and mission, sacrifice, and tithing drive me up the wall. You know I'd never leave our fine association in the lurch. I put $5 in the plate almost every time I come to church. I'm active in my congregation, generous with my advice. It's hard to make commitments, and I hope intentions will suffice. If I could shed these hang-ups, both of spirit and material, I'd be the very model of a true religious liberal. Okay. Those words were by Elizabeth J. McGregor from the Unitarian Church of Sharon, Massachusetts. Apparently that's where my grandfather was from. Not that he was a Unitarian, mind you. I think he was an Orangeman. So one challenge of our national heritage, our independence and desire to maintain our individuality, is that we can hedge our bets on our commitment to the faith, to this community, reasoned approach to life. We wondered what the real requirements will be revealed, and we'll be asked to submit to dogma and doctrine. As you use, we affirm that our search is free and responsible. We can believe in what we find here. We can have faith in each other and our experiences in this community. We can let ourselves show up and be here fully, committed and willing to see and be seen. There's another challenge to this dynamic as well. Sometimes our commitment to our previously nurtured individualism makes it a challenge for us to fully be in community, in communion with one another. It's a tension that has been a part of our denominational dynamics for a long time and continues to challenge us today. This tension between facing inward and facing outward, caring for our own while remaining in contact with the larger world, separation and community, plays itself out on so many levels in our lives. Within our personal lives, but also within the life of our congregation. Between and with this congregation and our relationship with the other congregations in this area, or this region, the nation, and indeed the world. We get caught up with the requirements and needs of our own lives, tugged and pulled by the responsibilities and obligations that hold our attention in our own congregation. We have so many things to do, and it can be hard to find the time, the energy, the interest, and focus to remind ourselves to reach out, remain curious, and find out what's happening in the world beyond our own lives. It's easy sometimes to become hunkered down in place, to create a routine that feels comfortable and want to just rest in that place. There are, of course, always things that need to be done within this church to tend and nurture the home fire, so to speak. And when you find a community of like minds and loving hearts, of course you want to spend time there. There is a special joy in the community we treasure. It is comfortable and nurturing to be with people who know us and who know the songs of our heart, and who will sing them to us when we have momentarily forgotten the tune. Our own Ralph Waldo Emerson felt that friends might well be reckoned the masterpieces of nature, and said that it is one of the blessings of old friends that you can afford to be stupid with them. This kind of safety, comfort, and familiarity is truly one of life's blessings. But we also need to nurture our connection to the larger denomination, because there is so much to be done in the world. So many opportunities where we see the potential for our faith, for our values, for our kind of truth, to make life better. We have a covenant in our principles as congregations to promote the goal of world community, characterized by peace, liberty, and justice for all. We all have a role in this mission, and we all know that we can't do it all alone, as much as we may value our independence and our individuality. I started to share the story of my journey to ministry with you in my sermon last week, where I discovered I no longer cared about practicing my old profession. Of course, my next question was, so what do I care about? And the voice within said, well, there's that ministry thing you've been trying to avoid. So I started researching my options for a vocation in ministry. I sought out interfaith ministries, chaplaincy, community ministry, campus ministry, and yes, even ordination online in the end. In the end, I realized my theology and my personal vision can only be met by being trained and associated with a larger denomination and community of faith. I wanted that legitimacy, indeed that accountability, and yearned for that sense of being in it with others that only achieving ordination as a Unitarian Universalist would give me as a minister. And now I'm here with you. We reach out and involve ourselves in the larger movement of Unitarian Universalism to deepen our understanding of what it means to be alive and engaged in the world. We open our hearts beyond our own community to remind ourselves that we are not alone in our commitment, that we are not the only ones striving to make the covenant real and alive in our own lifetimes. We seek others with whom to engage in the work because we know that each new relationship is a potential new door to a different world and a new set of possibilities and options. We reach out to be expanded, encouraged, and engaged. It takes courage to extend beyond yourself to invite someone new into your life and to invite yourself into someone else's life. The writer Anais Nin said, each new person represents a world in us, a world possibly not born until they arrive, and it is only by this meeting that a new world is born. That new world of possibility represents our best hope for making our seven principles come to life, to see our mission to the larger world move forward toward fruition. We need our association, and they need us. Here are some ideas for getting started on fulfilling your own part of the larger mission, for expanding your UU impact on this community and in the community beyond our doors. So be curious about your faith. Read the UU World, a publication of the UUA. If you don't subscribe, you can usually pick up a copy at the church library. If you're a techie, visit UU websites, both the Canadian Unitarian Council and the UUA. Participate in UU-related blogs and online communities. Check out books on UU history and heritage. Visit other UU churches. So when you're there, introduce yourself and talk to people. Then come back to us, please. Bring back ideas of what you saw and what you liked and what you'd like to do here. Find out about the ways in which you can be a part of and support the larger denomination. Consider joining a CUC monitoring group on social justice issues. Sign up as a contributor to Northern Lights, which helps fund UU projects around Canada. Check out the Canadian Unitarians for Social Justice or the Unitarian Service Committee of Canada. Attend regional assemblies, the fall gatherings that we have. The annual conference and meeting of Canada's UUs coming up in Ottawa in May. Attend the UU General Assembly or the Cool School or even UniCamp. Find out what it's like to be around a whole bunch of UUs. and learn more about how, as a faith, we consider our mission and move it forward in the world. So participate in social action projects that involve us with other UU congregations. Show up to say yes to the opportunities you have put your faith into action. Autonomy and association. So February is Canadian Unitarian Month, a time to remind ourselves of the value of being a part of the interconnected web of our faith tradition, of the support and encouragement we get to practice our beliefs and values in the context of a larger vision and mission. So I want to close this morning with the words of the Reverend Olympia Brown. So this is in your hymnal. It's reading number 569. I'll stand by this faith. Reverend Brown was the first woman ordained into ministry by the Unitarians in the 1860s. I'm proud to be in a movement that was among the first to ordain women. Only the Quakers and the Universalists did it earlier, and some faiths still don't. So here's what Reverend Brown has to say to us. Stand by this faith. Work for it and sacrifice for it. There is nothing in all the world so important as to be loyal to this faith, which has placed before us the loftiest ideals, which has comforted us in sorrow, strengthened us for noble duty, and made the world beautiful. Do not demand immediate results, but rejoice that we are worthy to be entrusted with this great message, that you are strong enough to work for a great true principle without counting the cost. Go on finding ever new applications of these truths and their new enjoyments in their contemplation, always trusting in the one God which ever lives and loves. And so be it.
I'm not sure it's appropriate to ask Wayne questions about something he's just read, but maybe somebody would like to make a remark. No, he doesn't have to answer a question because it doesn't seem... If there is a question, he could answer, but maybe somebody would just like to make a comment based on what they heard. No? That's fair.
I've got a question. Okay. I was just wondering why, or if there's any particular reason why, in sort of the title of our national organization, we just refer to ourselves as Unitarians and not Unitarian Universalists.
I really don't know how that came about. In looking at the 50 or so congregations in the country, I think all of just 99% are Unitarian church, fellowship, congregation, but there's one that calls itself Universalist Unitarian, which is in Halifax.
I mean, really, it doesn't require a huge leap to call yourself a Unitarian Universalist. It's almost unnecessary.
I think probably, and it's just an opinion, is that probably the majority of congregations in Canada were Unitarians to begin with, whereas in the U.S., there was a split of Unitarians and Universalists.
Oh. Yeah.
But maybe Joan has got a better answer than that. No?
The only thing I wanted to say is that when I was hired, I had the same question, and I've been tabling it with my conversations with my boss, Vita. So I will follow up with Vita on Thursday and email you back.
Okay. Thanks, Joan. Anyone else? Last chance.
Thanks very much, Wayne. It was interesting.